Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Bastard's Banquet, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: A Bitter Taste. They say revenge is a dish best served cold. That's bullshit. Revenge should be searing, blistering, a slow burn that chars the soul before you take the final, satisfying bite. Revenge should be plated on the finest china, garnished with arrogance, and served straight to the bastard who deserves it. And me? I've made a career of it. My name is Victoria Langley. You know me. Even if you don't think you do, you've felt my presence in the pages of a scathing restaurant review, in the hushed whispers of chefs who fear my name, in the sudden, irreversible downfall of those who dare to cross me. I am the critic, the final judge, the executioner of pretentious restaurateurs who believe their culinary genius outweighs common decency. One bad review from me, and they close within months. One glowing recommendation, and they have a 6-month wait list. Power is intoxicating, but wielding it with precision is an art. And I'm a fucking artist. Which is why I took Damien Marchand's rejection personally. Le Cygne was supposed to be my next masterpiece. A high-end French bistro that catered to the social elite, run by a self-absorbed prick who had built his reputation on exclusivity. A week before my planned review, I reached out to request a tasting menu experience, something I always do. A formality. He denied me. "We're fully booked for the next 3 months," his assistant had said, voice dripping with fake regret. Bullshit. I had seen a table open up that very night. I had watched a lesser critic get seated without so much as a whisper of hesitation. It wasn't about availability. It was about me. Marchand had chosen to snub me, and in doing so, he had signed his own death warrant. The preparation of a perfect crime. Revenge is best when it simmers. I didn't act immediately. I let the resentment marinate, thick and heavy, until the plan came together piece by piece. Step 1: Research. I studied Marchand the way a hunter studies its prey. His habits, his routine, the way he moved through the kitchen with that smug, self-important air. I watched his staff, noted their weaknesses, their loyalty, or lack thereof. I dined at Le Cygne under a different name, observed the plating, the service, the flow of the restaurant. Every detail mattered. Step 2: The poison. Dimethylmercury. A chef's worst nightmare. Odorless. Tasteless. Almost undetectable. A few drops and the poison seeps through the skin, enters the bloodstream, and works its way into the nervous system. The beauty of it? It doesn't kill instantly. It lingers. It destroys from within, one agonizing moment at a time. I didn't need him to drop dead in the middle of his pristine dining room. No, that would be too easy. Too fast. I wanted him to suffer. I wanted him to wake up one morning, hands trembling, mind slipping, body betraying him. I wanted him to feel the slow, creeping horror of knowing something was wrong, but not knowing what, until it was too late. Step 3: Execution. I had my opportunity the following week. Marchand was hosting an exclusive, invite-only tasting for a group of influential investors. I wasn't invited, so I invited myself. Slipping past security was laughably easy. A well-placed bribe, a borrowed uniform, and suddenly, I was just another nameless server delivering plates of foie gras and duck confit. The kitchen was chaos, but I thrived in chaos. The moment came when Marchand himself stepped onto the line, adding the finishing touches to a dish, his signature beurre blanc, a sauce he personally insisted on preparing. And there it was. A single moment. A window of opportunity. I moved swiftly, smoothly. A slight tilt of my wrist. A single drop of poison vanishing into the sauce as he whisked. Undetectable. By the time he tasted the final product, it was already done. The next morning, I woke with a sense of satisfaction curling in my chest. I imagined him standing in his pristine kitchen, feeling a slight dizziness, maybe dismissing it as exhaustion. I imagined him ignoring the first signs, thinking himself untouchable. And I smiled. Then the phone rang. The call that changed everything. Lucas. My brother. My best friend. My only family. Dead. I barely registered the voice on the other end of the line. The words blurred together, some detective's monotone explanation of how they had found him, how they didn't know what had happened. No signs of trauma, sudden collapse, preliminary toxicology inconclusive. I gripped the edge of my bathroom sink, staring at my reflection in the mirror. My lipstick was still perfect. My eyeliner sharp, wings drawn with precision. I had been getting ready for dinner when the call came in. A night out at one of those upscale, members-only places. The kind of restaurant where the wine list reads like a novel, and the bill could pay someone's rent. But now nothing fucking mattered. I hung up without saying a word. I stood there for a long time, my breath shallow, my mind blank. Then, like a dam breaking, the realization hit. Lucas was dead. And he had died the same way I had planned to kill Marchand. The same symptoms. The same slow, creeping poison. Someone had stolen my method. Someone had used my own weapon against my blood. I stumbled back, my heart pounding in my chest. My mind raced through the possibilities, the implications, the sheer impossibility of it. And then, like ice down my spine, a singular truth settled over me. This wasn't an accident. Lucas wasn't collateral damage. Lucas was the target. The hunger for vengeance. Grief is a funny thing. People expect wailing, sobbing, the kind of cinematic devastation that comes with dramatic music and stormy skies. Not me. My grief was something colder. Something sharper. It curled inside me like a blade, twisting deeper with every breath. Someone had killed my brother. And I was going to carve my way through every suspect until I found them. I sat at my kitchen table, hands steady, mind focused. I made a list. Damien Marchand. The first bastard on my kill list, but now not just for his arrogance. If he had somehow found out about my plan and turned it against me, then he was far more dangerous than I had given him credit for. Daniel Russo, a former critic, once a friend, before I exposed him for taking bribes. He had motive. But did he have the intelligence to execute something this precise? Elena Vasquez, the sous chef whose career I had destroyed with a single review. She hated me. I knew that. But I never thought her capable of this. Someone on that list had taken Lucas from me. And I would not rest until I buried them. Chapter 2, A Knife in the Back. The thing about grief is that it doesn't hit you all at once. It seeps in, slow and insidious, like a gas leak. It poisons everything you touch, everything you see, everything you are. And by the time you realize you're suffocating, it's already too late. I didn't cry when I found out Lucas was dead. I didn't scream. I didn't fall to my knees and beg the universe to bring him back. I just sat there, numb, staring at my reflection in the mirror of my bathroom. My lipstick was still perfect. My eyeliner sharp, wings drawn with precision. I had been getting ready for dinner when the call came in. A night out at one of those upscale, members-only places. The kind of restaurant where the wine list reads like a novel, and the bill could pay someone's rent. But now none of that mattered. Lucas was gone, and the world had the audacity to keep spinning. The investigation begins. The next day, I went to the coroner's office myself. I needed answers, and I needed them now. Dr. Solomon Kerr was a wiry, exhausted-looking man who had seen too many bodies and not enough justice. His office smelled like formaldehyde and cheap coffee, and when I walked in, he barely looked up from the paperwork he was shuffling. "Miss Langley," he muttered, rubbing his eyes. "I figured you'd show up. Then you know I won't waste time on pleasantries," I said, taking the seat across from his desk. "Tell me everything." He sighed, pulled out a file, and flipped it open. I saw Lucas's name at the top. "Your brother's death is unusual," Solomon admitted. "There's no clear cause. No obvious signs of foul play. No trauma. No drugs, no alcohol. His organs just shut down. It was slow. Progressive. Neurological damage, motor function deterioration." My stomach twisted. I already knew what that meant. "Poison. Dimethylmercury," I said quietly. His gaze snapped to mine. "What?" I swallowed. My throat felt tight. The symptoms. The slow decline. The lack of immediate reaction. It's classic mercury poisoning. Solomon hesitated, then nodded. "I considered that possibility. But it's incredibly rare, and... it's not impossible," I cut in. "It was more than possible. It was a guarantee. Because I had used that very poison before. But not on Lucas. On Damien Marchand. Unraveling the threads." I left the coroner's office with a storm raging in my chest. If Lucas had died from my method of poisoning, then there were only two explanations. One, I had somehow poisoned him by accident. Two, someone had stolen my playbook and used it against me. I refused to believe the first option. Lucas hadn't been anywhere near Marchand's restaurant. He hadn't eaten anything I had tampered with. He was careful, meticulous, borderline paranoid about what he put in his body. No, someone had done this deliberately. And that meant I was being watched. Someone knew. Someone had seen my work, studied it, and twisted it against me. I felt sick. Not with guilt. No, I had long since buried any moral hesitation about my choices. But with rage. This was personal. And whoever had done it was about to regret every breath they took. The suspects. I sat in my apartment, staring at the list in my notebook. Three names. Three people who had motive. One, Damien Marchand. The prick himself. He had insulted me, denied me, embarrassed me. He had every reason to hate me. But no. I had poisoned him, and he was still alive. If he was somehow involved, then it wasn't as the killer. Two, Daniel Russo. A washed-up food critic who once tried to ruin my career. I had humiliated him publicly, exposed his paid-off reviews, and essentially exiled him from the industry. He had motive. Three, Elena Vasquez. The one who bothered me the most. A talented sous chef who had once been on the rise, until I destroyed her. One review, one scathing piece about how she lacked vision, and her career took a nosedive. She had disappeared from the high-end scene after that. But she wasn't gone. She had resurfaced recently, working in a small, lesser-known restaurant. And Lucas had eaten there. I clenched my fists. That can't be a coincidence. The confrontation. The next night, I went to Lucigna. I had no reservations. I didn't need one. When I walked in, every head turned. Some in recognition. Some in fear. Some in hate. Marchand saw me. He tensed. Victoria, he said, his voice oozing condescension. What a surprise. I smiled. A slow, sharp thing. I want a table. His eyes flickered with something. Suspicion? Amusement? He was still too smug. Still too fucking alive. Of course, he murmured. Right this way. I let him seat me in the center of the restaurant. I wanted to be seen. I wanted people to watch. And then, as I scanned the dining room, I saw her. Elena Vasquez. She was in the kitchen, but the second she spotted me, she froze. And just like that, I knew. I knew she had something to do with Lucas's death. And I was going to make her confess. The setup. I didn't touch my food. I didn't drink my wine. I just sat there, watching. Waiting. Elena avoided my gaze, but she couldn't hide her fear. After an hour, I stood and walked straight into the kitchen. The staff panicked, but I didn't care. I grabbed Elena by the wrist and dragged her into the alley behind the restaurant. Talk, I demanded. She struggled. Victoria, what the hell? I slammed her against the brick wall. You poisoned my brother, I hissed. Her eyes widened. Then she laughed. You really don't get it, do you? She whispered. I narrowed my eyes. Explain. She leaned in, her breath hot against my cheek. I didn't kill Lucas to hurt him. I killed him to hurt you. The words hit like a knife to the gut. You destroyed my life, she continued. You ruined my career. My future. You made me nothing. So I wanted to take something from you. I felt my pulse in my throat. My vision blurred with red. You used my method, I whispered. She grinned. Figured you'd appreciate the irony. I let go of her wrist. She stumbled forward, still smirking. But I wasn't done. I grabbed the nearest object, a broken glass bottle from the alley floor, and slashed. She gasped. Blood trickled from the deep cut across her cheek. You took my brother from me, I said, my voice trembling. Now I take everything from you. She opened her mouth to scream. I drove the bottle into her stomach. A single, clean thrust. Her breath hitched. Then silence. I let her fall. The next day, I sent Marchand his last meal. And when he took his final fatal bite, I smiled. Because this was just the beginning. Chapter 3, A Dish Best Served Bloody. Revenge doesn't come in a single, clean stroke. It is layered, slow, meticulous, like a perfectly plated meal, each element carefully arranged to deliver the final, devastating bite. And I had only just sharpened my knife. Lucas was dead. Not by accident. Not by fate. By design. Someone had used my method, my carefully crafted, undetectable, slow-killing poison, against my brother. And that meant only one thing. They wanted me to suffer. Well, now it was their turn. The hunt begins. The list of suspects was short. A tight, neatly curated selection of enemies, each with a motive, each with just enough reason to want me broken. Damien Marchand. Still alive. Still fine. Which meant my original plan to kill him had failed. Or worse, someone had intercepted it and flipped the game against me. Daniel Russo. Once a fellow critic, now a desperate, washed-up failure. I had destroyed his career with the stroke of a pen. Did he have the intelligence to execute something this precise? Unlikely. But I wouldn't dismiss him yet. Elena Vasquez. The most dangerous option. A chef I had publicly humiliated, a woman whose career had crumbled under my words. And yet she was still standing. Still cooking. Still thriving in a small, unremarkable restaurant. And Lucas had eaten there. Coincidence? I didn't believe in coincidence. First, a taste of fear. Elena was my first stop. I didn't walk through the front doors of her restaurant. I wasn't some fool looking for a confrontation in broad daylight. No, I waited. I watched. She left the restaurant just after midnight, walking alone, her bag slung over her shoulder, her posture tense but unaware. I followed. Not too close. Not too fast. Just enough that she would feel it. That creeping sensation of being watched, that whisper of fear curling up her spine. I saw the moment she noticed. She stiffened, picked up her pace. I let her. The chase is part of the meal, after all. She turned down a side street, a quiet alley leading toward the back entrance of her apartment building. Foolish girl. That's where you go when you want to be cornered. I let my footsteps fall heavier now, enough for her to hear. She whipped around. Who's there? I didn't answer. She fumbled with her keys, panic setting in. I stepped forward, slow, deliberate, the dim streetlight casting a long shadow before me. Be Victoria, she stammered. I smiled. Hello, Elena. She dropped her keys. I tilted my head, watching her scramble, her hands shaking. Something wrong? I asked sweetly. She swallowed hard. What do you want? You know what I want. Her breath hitched. I didn't. Don't. I took another step, closing the distance between us. Don't fucking lie to me. She flinched. I crouched, picked up her keys, and held them out to her. Open the door. She hesitated. Elena. My voice was softer now. Almost kind. You don't want to do this out here. Do you? Her hand trembled as she took the keys. She unlocked the door. I followed her inside. A meal best served with blood. Elena's apartment was small, cluttered. The scent of old spices and desperation clung to the walls. She turned to face me, arms crossed, trying to mask the fear in her eyes. Why are you here? She demanded. I took my time answering. I wandered toward her kitchen, running my fingers along the countertop. A chef's space meticulously arranged, knives perfectly aligned, ingredients stored with care. I picked up a knife, examining the edge. Sharp. Clean. Elena, I murmured, turning the blade in my hand. Did you poison my brother? She exhaled sharply, her face twisting. I don't know what you're talking about. Wrong answer. I moved fast. A blur of motion. I grabbed her by the throat, slamming her back against the fridge. The knife was between us, pressed just beneath her ribs. Her breath came in panicked gasps. Let's try again, I whispered. Did you poison my brother? Tears welled in her eyes. Victoria, please. I pressed harder. Answer me. Her lip quivered. Then, in a broken whisper. I didn't mean for him to die. My blood turned to ice. I pulled back, just slightly, enough to see her face clearly. What? She squeezed her eyes shut. It wasn't supposed to be him. The words hit like a punch to the gut. I yanked her away from the fridge, throwing her to the floor. Explain, I snarled. She coughed, gripping her stomach where the knife had pressed into her skin. It was meant for you. Silence. For the first time in years, I felt something close to shock. She kept talking, her voice shaking. I knew what you did, she whispered. To Marchand. To all of them. I knew you poisoned him, and I wanted you to feel what you did to others. I wanted you to know what it's like to lose everything. I stared at her. She had tried to kill me. And instead, she had killed Lucas. A laugh bubbled up in my throat. Hollow. Bitter. Jesus Christ, I murmured. You really thought you could outplay me? She looked up, eyes wide. I stepped closer. You didn't just kill my brother, Elena. I crouched, gripping her chin, forcing her to look at me. You failed. A shudder ran through her. And then, the knife. A clean, swift slice across her throat. Her mouth opened in a silent scream. Blood spilled. Her body twitched, then stilled. I stood over her, heart hammering. For a long moment, I just stared. Then, with slow precision, I reached for a cloth, wiped my hands, and turned off the kitchen light. Time to clean up. The last course awaits. Elena had been a loose end. An unfortunate mistake. Now there was only one name left on my list. Damien Marchand. He had somehow survived my original poisoning attempt. But I wouldn't fail twice. I walked out of Elena's apartment, locking the door behind me. The night air was crisp, clean. Tomorrow Marchand would die. And this time, there would be no mistakes. Chapter 4, The Knife Twists. Revenge doesn't come in neat, predictable servings. It's messy. Raw. It clings to your skin, seeps into your bloodstream, and by the time you realize how deep you've gone, there's no turning back. Elena Vasquez was dead. Her blood still stained my hands, no matter how many times I washed them. But she wasn't the final course. No. There was still one name left on my list. Damien Marchand. The bastard had escaped my first attempt. Somehow. Some way. And now. Now, I was going to make absolutely fucking sure that he choked on the last meal I ever served him. A taste of his own medicine. Damien Marchand was predictable. A man of habit. He ran Lusigna like a dictator, demanding perfection, belittling staff, treating customers like they were either beneath him or not worth the air they breathed. I spent the next 3 days studying him. Watching. Learning. Day one. He arrived at the restaurant at exactly 10:30 a.m. every morning, always in a pressed white chef's coat. He carried a leather-bound notebook, his Bible of menu changes, ingredients, and personal tasting notes. Day two. He ate alone in his office every night. Never dined with customers. Never trusted anyone else to prepare his meals. Smart. But not smart enough. Day three. He made his rounds through the kitchen at 6 p.m. sharp, inspecting every dish before service started. This was my opportunity. I knew exactly how I was going to kill him. But I wasn't going to do it quietly this time. I wanted him to know. I wanted him to look me in the eyes as I took everything from him. Setting the trap. I had an advantage. People knew me in the industry. My name still carried weight. And even though Marchand despised me, his staff? They feared me. I called in a favor with an old acquaintance, Jules Carter, a bartender I had once helped land a job in a high-profile restaurant. In exchange for that, he owed me. And now, I was collecting. I need access to Marchand's office, I told him over the phone. And I need it tomorrow. There was a pause. Victoria, Jules exhaled sharply. This isn't like writing a bad review. If you're planning something. I'm not asking for advice, I cut in. I'm asking for access. Silence. Then. Fine. A reluctant sigh. Meet me at the back entrance at midnight. Click. A feast for the dead. I arrived at Lusigna just before midnight, dressed in black, gloves snug against my fingers. Jules was already waiting, shifting nervously, hands shoved into his pockets. Shit, Victoria, he muttered. You look like you're about to commit murder. I smiled. Maybe I am. He didn't ask any more questions. With a quick glance over his shoulder, he unlocked the back door and gestured for me to follow. The kitchen was empty, dimly lit by the glow of refrigeration units. The scent of seared butter and fresh herbs still lingered in the air, a ghost of the night's service. This way, Jules whispered, leading me down the hall. Marchand's office was exactly how I imagined it, pretentious. Mahogany desk, leather-bound books, framed awards lined up like trophies of war. And in the center, his personal liquor cabinet. Perfect. I pulled a small vial from my pocket, unscrewed the cap, and tipped two drops into the expensive bottle of Chateau Margaux on his shelf. Not dimethylmercury this time. No, that had been too kind. This poison? This one would burn. The night of reckoning. The next evening, I returned to Lusigna, dressed to kill, literally. A fitted black dress, hair swept into a tight chignon, heels clicking against the marble floor as I stepped into the dimly lit dining room. Every eye turned toward me. Whispers rippled through the air. They all knew me. Marchand saw me, and his expression soured. He stood at the entrance to his kitchen, arms crossed, disapproval practically dripping from his pores. Victoria, he drawled. To what do I owe this? I want a table, I interrupted, my voice smooth. His jaw clenched. We're fully booked. I smirked. Don't make me embarrass you in front of your guests, Damien. His eyes burned with irritation. But he relented. Fine, he snapped, waving to a host. Give Miss Langley a seat. Preferably far from anyone who actually matters. I smiled. Let the game begin. The Last Supper. I watched him from across the room. He was irritated, pacing, barking orders to his staff. But I knew him. He wasn't just pissed that I was here. He was curious. Good. Curiosity kills. I waited. Let him stew in his own arrogance. Let him believe he was in control. Then, at exactly 9:45 p.m., I watched him disappear into his office. I counted the seconds. One. Two. Three. Then. A crash. I stood. Walked calmly toward the hallway. By the time I reached the office door, I could hear coughing. Gagging. I stepped inside. Marchand was on his knees, clutching his throat, face red, veins bulging against his skin. His wine glass lay shattered on the floor. "Something wrong?" I asked sweetly. His bloodshot eyes snapped up to me. "Why you?" His voice was hoarse, barely a whisper. I crouched, tilting my head. "Funny, isn't it?" I murmured. "The way food and drink can betray you?" His body convulsed. His fingers clawed at his throat. I leaned in. "You should know, Damien," I whispered against his ear. "This isn't Mercury." His eyes widened. "No," I continued. "That would have been too kind." He choked. "This," I smiled. "This is tetrodotoxin. Fugu poisoning. Paralysis within minutes. Death soon after." A ragged gasp tore from his lips. His limbs twitched, failing him. His body was shutting down, but his mind? His mind was still very much awake. He knew. And he was helpless. He tried to move. Tried to fight. But it was over. He crumpled to the floor, his body convulsing one last time before falling still. I straightened, adjusting my dress. Smoothed down my hair. And then, with a final glance at the bastard's corpse, I stepped over him and walked out the door. Satisfied. Full. Chapter 5, The Last Bite. The moment Damien Marchand's body hit the floor, a strange silence settled over me. Not relief. Not triumph. Just silence. For months, I had envisioned this moment, him gasping for air, helpless, drowning in his own arrogance. And now here he was. Gone. But the hunger inside me? It wasn't satisfied yet. Because this wasn't just about revenge anymore. This was about what came next. And I wasn't done playing the game. The cleanup. I didn't leave immediately. That would be stupid. Instead, I took my time. I bent down beside Marchand's body, pressing my fingers lightly against his throat. No pulse. His face was frozen in a grotesque mask of realization, eyes staring at the ceiling, mouth slightly open as if he had one last thing to say. But never would. I tilted my head, studying him. I had taken everything from him. His control. His power. His life. And yet, I felt empty. I stood, wiping invisible dust from my dress. The clock on the wall read 10:13 p.m. I had 20 minutes before someone would come looking for him. Time to move. I stepped over his body and went straight for his desk, my gloved fingers flipping through the open leather-bound notebook he had always carried. His Bible. Recipes. Staff notes. Supplier details. Restaurant contacts. And then, a name I didn't expect to see. Elena Vasquez. My stomach twisted. I scanned the notes beneath her name, my pulse picking up speed. Victoria Langley. Watch her. She is dangerous. Vasquez will handle it. Leverage her failure. I read it again. Then again. And then the realization crashed down on me, cold and sharp as a blade against my throat. Damien Marchand hadn't just been in the way. He had been the mastermind. He had used Elena. Manipulated her. Made her his pawn. Lucas hadn't been an accident. He had been a test. And I had played right into his fucking hands. The final course. I moved quickly now, my mind racing. I had killed Elena thinking she had acted alone. I had been so focused on revenge that I hadn't seen the bigger picture. But Marchand had. And now, I was standing over the body of a man who had been expecting this moment. Which meant one thing. He wasn't working alone. My breath caught in my throat. I had spent so much time hunting him, so much time thinking he was the endgame, that I hadn't considered the possibility that someone else was watching. Waiting. I grabbed his notebook and stuffed it into my purse. Then I turned to leave. And stopped. Because someone was standing in the doorway. Watching me. A ghost from the past. For a second, neither of us moved. I could hear my own breathing. The distant hum of the restaurant's music. The muffled laughter of diners who had no idea their beloved chef was dead on the floor. Then. Did you really think it would end like this? The voice sent ice through my veins. Daniel Russo. The washed-up critic. The man I had humiliated years ago. The man who had every reason to want me dead. He stepped forward, slow and deliberate, his lips curled into something that wasn't quite a smile. "I was wondering how long it would take you to figure it out," he murmured, his eyes flickering to Marchand's lifeless form. "Though I have to admit you played your role beautifully." I swallowed hard. My fingers curled around the knife hidden in my purse. "How long?" I asked, my voice steady. He smirked. "How long have I been watching you?" I nodded. "Oh, Victoria." He sighed, shaking his head. "Since the beginning." A slow, nauseating realization crept over me. It wasn't just Marchand. It was him. He had been pulling the strings all along. A dance with the devil. I took a slow breath, forcing my heartbeat to steady. I had two options. Run. Not my style. Finish what I started. I chose the latter. I lunged. Russo was fast, but I was faster. My knife sliced through the air, aimed for his throat. But he was expecting it. He dodged, grabbing my wrist, twisting it hard enough to make me gasp in pain. The knife clattered to the floor. He shoved me back, and I crashed against the desk, my vision blurring for half a second. Then, his hand wrapped around my throat. Panic surged through me. I kicked out, but he held firm, his grip tightening just enough to send a sharp warning through my body. "You were never in control," he whispered, his breath hot against my ear. "Not with Marchand. Not with Elena. And certainly not with me." I bared my teeth. "Go to hell," he chuckled. "Ladies first." Then he let go. I gasped, coughing, sucking in air as I stumbled forward. And he kicked my knife toward me. A challenge. I picked it up, my fingers curling around the handle. "You think you're a killer, Victoria?" he murmured, watching me. "Then prove it. The last bite." I don't remember making the decision. I just remember the sound the knife made when I drove it into him. A sickening, wet tear as it pierced his stomach. Russo's breath hitched. For the first time, I saw surprise flicker across his face. And then pain. I twisted the blade. Hard. His knees buckled, his hands clutching my arms in a desperate, instinctive attempt to stay upright. But it was over. He collapsed, blood pooling at our feet. I crouched beside him, my breath still ragged, my pulse pounding in my ears. "You underestimated me," I whispered. His lips parted. A final, dying breath. Then nothing. I stood looking down at him. Then at Marchand. Then, at my own reflection in the mirror across the room. I barely recognized myself. Blood on my dress. My hands. My lips curled into a smirk. Victoria Langley, the critic. The executioner. And now, the last one standing. The perfect ending. I walked out of the office, head high, heels clicking against the floor. Past the restaurant. Past the oblivious diners. Past the staff who would soon discover that their king was dead. And as I stepped out into the night, into the fresh, crisp air, a single thought crossed my mind. What's next on the menu? The end.